Welcome to Native America Calling from Studio 49 in Albuquerque. I'm Tara Gatewood. Native Realities Press, issue number one of the Hero Twins comic by Navajo illustrator Dale DeForest is out, and this hour will bring you closer to the adventure. The action starts in 1860 when an order is given to the cavalry to retrieve something they feel is extraordinary. From there, the narrative takes us into the story of Changing Woman and the beginning of the Hero Twins saga. Stay with us to hear more. National Native News is next.
This is National Native News. I'm Antonia Gonzalez. The Indian Health Service Hospital on the Pine Ridge Reservation in South Dakota received notice Friday it was being placed on immediate jeopardy status by the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services. Its provider agreement with the federal agency is being terminated on November 18th, which means IHS can no longer bill for Medicare services. A press release from IHS states the move comes after a recent survey. In the meantime, the hospital remains open. Tribal leaders in Wisconsin are trying to stop a pro-mining bill, which is making its way through the state legislature. Chuck Kornbach of Wisconsin Public Radio reports.
In 1997, the tribes backed mining restrictions that passed under then-Republican Governor Tommy Thompson. That law basically makes potential owners of mineral mines like gold, copper, and zinc prove that similar mines elsewhere don't damage the environment. It's not officially a moratorium, but no such mine has opened in Wisconsin since then. Now, with mining companies exploring potential ore deposits in the northern part of the state, Republican legislators have introduced a bill dropping the so-called prove-it-first requirement. Menominee Nation Chairman Gary Besaw says the new measure is a bad idea.
The prove-it-first law was put in place 20 years ago with overwhelming bipartisan support. We come to our senses and realize, as is the legacy of our native thinking, that we cannot ruin this world for our babies.
The Great Lakes Intertribal Council, representing 12 tribes in Wisconsin and northern Michigan, also opposes the bill. But a sponsor of the new measure, Wisconsin State Senator Tom Tiffany, says an amended version now requires a mining company to show it can pay for reasonably anticipated repairs for up to 250 years after a mine closes.
What our tribal members in northern Wisconsin, I have a number of tribes in my district, what they say to us, think about the next seven generations. That's why we wrote that for 250 years.
Last week, the Wisconsin State Assembly approved the pro-mining measure, but it isn't clear yet if the state Senate will go along. I'm Chuck Kornbach.
A First Nation in British Columbia is unhappy with a landmark ruling by Canada's highest court. It ruled the building of a large ski resort on land considered sacred to the band does not breach religious rights. Dan Karpinchuk reports.
The ruling could now pave the way for the development of a resort in the Kootenays region of BC. That despite strong objections from the Tanaka First Nation. They argued that the project will drive grizzly bear spirit from their spiritual territory and could also affect their religious beliefs and spiritual practices. The Supreme Court of Canada ruled that religious protections under Canada's Charter of Rights and Freedoms include the freedom to hold such beliefs, but they do not extend to the protection of sacred sites. The nine justices were unanimous in their decision to reject the appeal by the Tanaka Nation. They also said the government's decision to approve the ski resort was reasonable and came after deep consultations. Lawyers for the Tanaka say the justice system failed Indigenous people. Perry Bellegarde, the National Chief of the Assembly of First Nations, says judges and legislators need to better understand traditions of First Nations people.
What the Tanaka Nation were saying, that's sacred ceremonial grounds. That's where our relatives, a grizzly bear, live. And if their habitat is somehow destroyed, you're destroying our relatives. You know, and we're not going to be able to continue on with our ceremonies in that territory. So they're trying to make that case. And so to me, it's a bit of a lack of awareness and understanding through the Supreme Court about that worldview.
The ski resort has been hampered by legal wrangling since 1991. It must still clear environmental and other regulatory roadblocks before it can proceed. For National Native News, I'm Dan Karpinchuk.
And I'm Antonia Gonzalez.
The National Native News is produced at the Annenberg National Native Voice Studios by Kwanic Broadcast Corporation. Funding is provided by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, with support from the Public Radio Satellite Service.
Support by Northern Arizona University, a university committed to serving Native American students, offering opportunity in every direction, in Flagstaff, at community colleges around the state, and online. Learn more at nau.edu. Support by the Association of American Indian Physicians, promoting heart health. Information on helping prevent 1 million heart attacks and strokes at aaip.org/million-hearts.
Native Voice One, the Native American Radio Network.
This is Native America Calling. I'm your host, Tara Gatewood. This month, we are spiraling into the action of Volume 1 of The Hero Twins. This comic book is a creation of Dale DeForest of the Navajo Nation. In the next hour, we'll hear how he has used and woven his creativity and elements from his tribe stories into something that is making the comic book pages come alive with adventure. As we travel through time, space, and imagination, we are inviting you to also explore what this Native writer and illustrator has given to the world of comics. And when you are one of the first 10 callers to make it on air with your comment or question, you'll be qualified to receive a copy of the comic book courtesy of Native Realities Press. Phone lines are open now. Dial 1-800-99-NATIVE and join the conversation. Also, if you're a huge comic fan and have been for years, what is it that comics provide that other mediums don't? And if you're a new fan to the action and adventure that streams across the pages, what is it about this storytelling form that pulled you in? We look forward to you dialing 1-800-996-2848 and sharing some words with our November Book of the Month creator. Let's get closer to this story by meeting the Hero Twins creator. Right here in Studio 49 with us is Navajo comic creator and illustrator Dale DeForest. He studied 2D arts and photography at the Institute of American Indian Arts and graduated in 2000. Currently, he works as a full-time graphic designer here in Albuquerque. And it is our pleasure to welcome Dale to the program. Dale, thank you for being with us.
It is my pleasure.
And Dale, I did a mini introduction into Hero Twins, and there's so much that really has the eye going and the imagination flowing. And so how do you like to present Hero Twins and just what it's about?
Where do I begin? How I like to present it is that I like to show it to people. You know, I like to put as many eyes on it as humanly possible and have fun doing it. I mean, that's the whole reason why I'm doing this, is to just have fun.
And I think we do. And so tell us a little bit about the characters that we do get to meet. And again, folks, if you want to join us, 1-800-996-2848. Go ahead.
Well, the characters, they come from a combination of all of my favorite characters growing up. You know, all the goofy TV shows and the Saturday morning cartoons. It's kind of a culmination of all of those things growing up that I had fun with. And so the Hero Twins themselves are essentially action figures come to life. You know, if you look at my previous book that I self-published with Kickstarter, those heroes themselves, they look like sculptures, if you will. You know, just action figures that you just want to put your hands on and play with all day. And so that's where that came from. But in this new story published by Native Realities, I wanted to start over. I wanted to get a more clear, concise version of this story. I wanted to start over and basically iron all those wrinkles out, if you will.
Mm-hmm. And so introduce us to these two characters that we see on the cover. And folks, if you want to take a quick peek into it, we just tweeted out some photos if you want to take a look. And we look forward to your thoughts on just even the beauty of the artwork. 1-800-996-2848 is the number. And tell us, who's on the cover?
Okay, on the cover, that's Changing Woman, otherwise known as First Woman. And then behind her is father, son. And I played with the story a little bit. I sort of changed their roles up, sort of did a little bit of a detour from the original Navajo creation story. I didn't want to retell the Navajo creation story by any means. I wanted to have my own story, but just pull elements, pull a few things here and there from that story so that I can have my own story and leave the Navajo creation story as it is.
And what was your decision in doing that? Is that something you could just hear one of your elders saying, how dare you? Or were you trying to push the envelope? Or talk to me a little bit about that, of why you took elements but left the beauty of the original story alone.
I wasn't interested in pushing any envelopes because I wanted to get as many people interested in this book as humanly possible, because I wanted everyone to be able to read it, everyone to be able to enjoy it. And if they don't, that's okay. Out of respect for all of those original stories, I wanted to leave them intact. I don't want to sway anyone's belief try to change anyone's opinion on what those stories mean to them. So rather than trying to retell them word for word or use the basis of those stories into my story, I wanted to just have my own just complete version separate from what those stories might mean to other people.
And so talk to me about the storyline that goes on here. We turn to the first page, and then we're faced with the military and an intersection with Native people. What's the backstory that takes us to this moment?
Well, we all know how profound that division is, within our history. And everyone can tell their own version of that history, with the United States military or any kind of military versus the indigenous peoples of whatever part of the country you're in. Everyone, from our background knows where that story lies. And so I wanted to just introduce a little bit of that history in there, even though if it's fictionalized, I wanted to include that just because it's a great place to start from, and include an immediately recognizable aspect of Native history, but a bit fictionalized, if you will. But I thought it was a great jumping point.
It is, and it takes us right to the action and the threat. I think anytime when we have a story where we start, there's a threat at hand, the action immediately just starts unfolding. And talk to me about making that decision of, you turn the page and then there it is, you're directly thrown into this. And then I think you kind of start caring about people immediately.
Growing up, when I grew up, I was a big fan of manga and anime. And in the early 90s, the classics, Akira and Ghost in the Shell, the movies didn't really, the creators and the directors and whoever didn't really care about what you thought of those characters. They just dropped you in the middle of the story as it was happening. And so I used that influence to create my book. I wanted to just drop the reader right in the middle of the action as it's happening. And whether you cared about the characters or not, it's really irrelevant until you get a little further into the book and you realize who these people are. And then you make the choice for yourself. Do I care about this person or not? It's up to you. It's up to the reader.
Indeed. And let's hear from some folks who are excited to hear more about this book. And if you want to hear more, ask questions, feel free, call in. 1-800-996-2848 is the number. We have Hero Twins creator here in Studio 49 with us, Mr. Dale DeForest from the Navajo Nation. We look forward to your calls. Let's take our first caller. We're going to say hi to Zol in Farmington, New Mexico, tuned in on KSUT. Zol, thank you for your call. You're on air.
How you doing? What's up, Dale?
What's up? I know this
just
guy.
Just called to show my support. Yeah, I just called to show my support for my good friend. He's doing an amazing thing, bringing Native, our Navajo stories to life in a contemporary, modern way. It's beautiful.
Right back at you, buddy, because, you're the one that's actually putting these stories on screen. He's an actor.
Yeah.
Oh, and right now he's acting up. No. Zol, thank you. And I don't know, have you had a chance to take a look at this comic we are featuring today? Any thoughts or favorite moments you want to tell Dale about?
Well, I was down there for his premiere at Red Planet Comics. and got some copies from him, and I went through them, and of course the art's amazing. I think overall the whole idea and the concept of it to bring things to light for, I think to me the great part about it is that it's a connection to a lot of younger Navajos, and specifically to try to be interested in the stories of our past, and I think that's the most beautiful thing to me.
It is. It truly is something to celebrate. Zol, we're glad you gave us a ring, and we want you to give us a ring, too. Join the conversation at 1-800-996-2848. And, folks, we are also giving away copies of Hero Twins. Looks like we're going to give our second copy away right now to Helen in Bethel, Alaska, tuned in on KYUK. Helen, thank you for your call. You're on air.
Thank you for taking my call, and thank you for your guest speaker. I'd like to commend you for making a comic book with ethnic background. I'm very proud of you. I wanted to ask you who your role model was and who published your books. And that's all I had. Thank you. I'm proud of you.
Thank you.
Helen, thank you for your call there in Bethel. And Dale, go ahead. Share some of that.
Native Realities published it, and you can check them out at nativerealities.com. My role models growing up were just my mom and dad. They've always been completely supportive of anything I wanted to do, whether it was drawing pictures or rebuilding cars. You know, it was just I've had a wonderful support system growing up, and I feel like I owe them everything. So that's the only two people I can think of right now. I mean, I'm sure there's more, but there's more people.
All right. Good shout out. And Dale, Zol mentioned a little bit about the release of this comic book, and you released this book in a very special place. And I'm just wondering, when you were interacting with folks and they first got their hands on the book, what were their reactions to seeing this story and then hearing more from you?
Well, it's interesting because Red Planet Books and Comics is really the only Native bookstore in that I could think of anywhere that is just all Native content, and it's a first of its kind, and it's wonderful, and it was fitting that Native Realities would want me to, you know, launch it there. And the people that did come by to chat with me about it were just it was kind of hard to read their reactions at first, because they would pick up the book, I would sign it, they'd thumb through it for a little bit, and they would just say, just kind of echo what these first two callers just said. They said, it's wonderful. Thanks for doing this. It's you know, everything is good about this. I want to see more. You know, and so I wouldn't really gauge the initial reaction on that day, because it was kind of all over the place. I mean, I've had several people show up and just they just bought the book, had me sign it, and they were out the door. And then there was other people that came by and were just enamored by it. They, you know, I couldn't tell you what questions they asked me, because honestly, I don't remember. But the initial reaction of it was just overwhelmingly positive. It was I had a lot of fun doing it.
And Zol mentioned it's great that this is a pathway for young people, and I'm sure especially Navajo youth to start connecting with maybe some of the things they heard, or just even weaving it into the things they like to look at. We know young people are really into the comics. What's going on in the movie theaters is also drawing them close to it. And talk to me a little bit about what it means for this book to go into the hands. And a lot of times we hear this, the representation of Native people in books, just in general, are missing. But in comics too, where we're actually a full story about Natives, they're the, you know, they're the heroes, their setting is in there. What does it mean for you to introduce this to young Native people?
As a young Native person growing up, I didn't see any of that. The only thing I did see was like the Apache chief on the Justice League, and there was very little about him ever. So, you know, already those stories back then were just foreign to me, even though this is our continent. So what it meant to me was, like, if you can't see it out there, if you can't see your representation out there, do it yourself.
Whoops. Oh. You are very powerful.
No. So, you know, I had to do it myself. I wanted something that was just great to look at, fun to read, and something you wanted to be a part of. And whether you wanted to read my book or use my book to create your own book, you know, I wanted to. That's how I wanted to give back. That's how I wanted to do this, to do something that I like and then do something that other people like to help them do what they like.
Mm-hmm. And maybe we have some young listeners in the audience today. If you want to ask questions first, get permission before you start dialing into a national radio show. But, you know, figure it out and give us a ring if you're there and you can. 1-800-996-2848 is the number. We do look forward to weaving you into all of this. And I think any kind of story, whether it be something we see on the big screen, something we flip through the pages and it's about 2-3 inches tall, or a comic, it's all about good story. And Dale, talk to me a little bit about your thought process to give us a good narrative or take us on a journey.
So, as a writer, you have to have a story to tell first. And sometimes people will write things not knowing what they're doing, not necessarily knowing what story they're trying to tell. Sometimes they'll write a story without having anything to say. And that was important for me to start off. I wanted to have something to say, and that's what took me so long in doing this, is that everything I did have to say, it just didn't resonate with me, even though it came from my craft. But it took me a while to do this because I just didn't know where to start. And I'm trying to remember the moment where it actually hit me. I was working at my old job, and I remember happening upon a story on Facebook that someone posted that was related to the Navajo creation story. And so I thought, oh, that's neat. I haven't really experienced that in a while. So I clicked on the article and I read through some of it, and I thought, this information I'm reading is just completely just wrong. So I, you know, out of my own curiosity, I did some online research and ordered a few books on Amazon related to the Navajo creation story. So I did a little bit of research and sort of refreshed my own memory of what these stories were. And the Hero Twins popped out, of course. You know, I mean, that's in the name, Hero Twins. It's like, these people are out to save us. And I thought, this can't be any more perfect. This can't be any more convenient for me. And I thought, I'll go ahead and see if I can't write something for this. And it sort of, it took a while to fester, if you will. It took a while for me to come up with something really good that I wanted to read, because whenever I write something, I want to make sure that I want to read it first. I want to be entertained by it first, and then I'll show it to other people. And so I started there, and there was that shortly after I started this journey, the Indigenous Comic-Con last year was announced. And I thought, oh wow, this would be the perfect time to bring this out. And it created a sense of urgency. And it lit a fire under me, and I had to get it done. And that's how that whole Kickstarter thing started, and it blossomed from there. It was a huge success. I published that first book, and within that urgency, I didn't know if I was going to be able to do it again. I didn't know if I was going to be able to create more books. I didn't know if I was going to be able to keep doing it. So I took the entire story that I wrote that was going to be told over several issues. I just crammed it all into one book. I just rolled it all up and spit it out, if you will. And then people seemed to like it because, you know, I had a tremendous reaction on Kickstarter. And then when the Indigenous Comic-Con happened last year, I sold out of every single copy I had. It was a wonderful success. And I thought, this is great. And Lee Francis approached me and asked me, Can I see the book? I'm like, yeah, sure. I gave him a copy, and he liked it. And he says, you know what? Why don't we do this? Why don't we get together and do this? I thought, fantastic. And it started from there. And now you have the result of that union, right in front of you.
It's great to hear the backstory on this, and I want you to go more into detail of the entire saga and your vision for it. And folks, you can join us too at 1-800-996-2848 is the number. You can give us a ring. 1-800-996-2848 is the number. And if you are finding this in our archive, you can also leave your comments right there on our website. Let's go ahead and go to Salim, who's in Santa Fe, New Mexico, tuned in on KUNM. Salim, thank you for your call. You're on air. Hello, Salim, there in Santa Fe. All right, give us a ring back. Let's go to Melissa, who's in Albuquerque, New Mexico, tuned in on KUNM. Melissa, thank you for your call. You're on air.
Hi, thank you. Thank you so much for this program. I just wanted to say I'm not native, but I really am excited about this book. I have an 11-year-old daughter, and I try to put books in front of her that are written by all different kinds of people, all different kinds of backgrounds, all different styles of writing, and this sounds like one she's really going to enjoy. And I wanted to ask what sort of tips or suggestions would you give to young authors who might be interested in pursuing their writing?
All right, Melissa, thank you for your call. Again, join us at 1-800-996-2848. Go ahead.
I would say they just have to do it. They just have to get busy. They have to get started. They can't hold back. They can't worry about what other people think. They just have to do it. It's extremely important for young people to just get their creativity out. They can't have any mechanisms holding them back. Because it usually, for kids especially, it only takes one tiny little thing, whether it's a sliver under their fingernail, it will keep them from doing great things. So it's important to, no matter what these children are into, you cannot let them be held back. You cannot let them, think that they're not worthy of doing this or of going on this journey. You have to give them as much confidence as humanly possible, because that's where all of this stuff starts. Because if it were not for my parents, letting me have this creative freedom, this would have gone nowhere. This would have never happened.
All right. Melissa, thank you for your call here in Albuquerque. And Dale, when Melissa's daughter opens this up, she's going to meet the character of Changing Woman. And is there anything you want to tell Melissa that to keep in mind as you read this story?
Honestly, no. It's just I want her to formulate her own opinion of it. Because if she invests in this book and wants to read more, she'll definitely learn more about it. And so I want her to have her own feelings about it. I want her to have her own thoughts. And all of my work, everything I've ever done artistically, is completely open to interpretation. I really don't care to sway anyone's opinion on it. I want them to see it, and I want them to experience it for themselves.
All right. And they're getting a little bit of that today. You can talk directly with our guest, Dale DeForest. He is here in Studio 49 with us. We are featuring his book, Hero Twins. It's a comic book, Volume 1 today, as our November Book of the Month. And with all our Book of the Months, we give a copy. And if you give us a ring, participate in air, and you're one of the first 10 people to do it, you will receive a copy, compliments of Native Realities Press. Folks, we will be right back after this. A new study is a jumping-off point for a conversation about the pay gap for Native American women. They make less overall than their male counterparts. But there's more to the story. We'll get some answers about the lingering pay gap and what some solutions might be. That's on the next Native America Calling.
Support for this program provided by AARP. At AARP, we create and connect you to unique tools and programs to help you save money and tackle the issues that matter most to you, your family, and your community. What we do might surprise you. For more information and resources, including member benefits and discounts, AARP advocacy, and more, go to AARP.org. Support by Holt Hamilton Films' new TV series, Frybread, based on More Than Frybread, the movie seeking Native American actors to portray a variety of roles. Resumes and headshots accepted at HoltHamilton.com by November 8. Support by Trickster Art Gallery, presenting the Native Pop Artists November 16th, 17th, and 18th. Native Pop Artists are hardcore, cutting-edge, indigenous artists. Tickets and info at TricksterGallery.com.
Welcome back to Native America Calling. I'm your host, Tara Gatewood from Isleta Pueblo. And fresh off the Native Realities Press is Volume 1 of The Hero Twins by Navajo writer and illustrator Dale DeForest. It's our book of the month, and we are sharing 10 copies of the comic book with the first 10 callers to make it on air with a question or comment. And to be one of those who gets this sent to them, all you have to do is dial 1-800-996-2848 and share your views on air or ask a question. Phone lines are open now. You can also reach us at 1-800-99-NATIVE. And if the discussion so far is something that you're enjoying and you're saying, I wish they'd talk more about comics and why Native people are pounding out this type of creativity, well, good news, we will be bringing more comic talk to our Native airwaves. This Friday, we'll take Studio 49 on the road to the Indigenous Comic-Con 2. And we'll be in the middle of the action where we'll be visiting with the creators and fans. And if your plans have you gravitating towards New Mexico for this event, we hope you'll join us for our live broadcast on Friday. Let's go ahead and bring our guest back in. Here in Studio 49 with us is Navajo comic creator and illustrator Dale DeForest. It's our pleasure to have him with us. And Dale, let's get further into this story. And you gave folks a little bit of a glimpse of how this all started for you. It used to be one big book, and now you are revisiting some of this, and you're giving it to us one volume at a time. And things have changed since that first book. And so talk to us a little bit about imagining an entire series and how you give us information in each book. We're at volume one, but there are more volumes ahead. And for folks who are writers and creative folks, I'm sure they're wondering, you know, how do you do that and not give it all away in the first book? Or how do you know when to stop if you are continuing with the journey? Let's talk a little bit there. And again, folks, if you want to join us, 1-800-996-2848.
Well, I had a really hard time knowing where to start. I had all the stories swimming around in my head for the longest time. And then just knowing where to go from there, it was one of the hardest things that I had to do as a writer and illustrator. But once I got there, it was the Indigenous Comic Con last year that prompted me to do it, and it was a brilliant mechanism. But as far as the story is concerned, you know, I can't really explain too much because honestly, I don't know yet. I'm writing as it goes along because, you know, I believe it was George R.R. Martin that was talking about different types of storytellers, different types of writers, how you have your structured writers who have everything laid out for themselves. First, they have the outlines, they have descriptions, they have everything all lined up for them first before they begin to write. And then you have the organic writers, which just let it happen. And I'm kind of right there. I'm kind of like one of those organic writers where it has to happen as I'm typing it or as I'm writing it. It has to happen as it's coming to me. So that's where I'm at currently, even though I have most of issue 2 written already. I can tell you that in the next chapter or in the next volume, the kids are going to be a little bit older, and there's going to be some more action that you're just going to be dropped into.
Very nice. Let's try Salim. Looks like we got him back, and we're going to go to Santa Fe, New Mexico to say hello to him as he's tuned in on KUNM. Salim, thank you for your call. You're on air.
Congratulations, Dale. My question is, Do you have plans or interest in having your series be digitized, animation type digital?
Yes, I would love to see it happen, but again, that's a very long road to travel. I just want to get this story out first. I want to get the first volume, if you will, or the first collection of volumes out, and then see where it goes from there. I'm definitely not opposed to it. I mean, I would love to see a Saturday morning cartoon version of the Hero Twins happen. I mean, that would be wonderful. That would be considered a dream of mine, if you will, to see something of mine come to life on a TV screen and just watch it unfold for myself and wonder where it goes from there.
This would make a great series. Salim, thank you for your call. Let's go ahead and talk to Tim now in Dillingham, Alaska, tuned in on KDLG. Tim, thank you for your call. You're on air.
Good morning. I was going to ask your author, we have a lot of folklore in Alaska, especially the region I live in Dillingham. Has your author ever considered writing a book about Alaska tales?
All right, Tim, thank you for your call there in Dillingham. Again, if you want to join us, 1-800-996-2848 is the number. And I guess there's plenty of books left. That was number 5 to Tim. Go ahead, Dale.
I would love to do that. I would love to travel to Alaska and experience it for a bit and then write about my experience. But as it stands, you know, I'm a dad. I have a job. I do this in my spare time. Doing something like that would just be phenomenal.
All right. Thank you for your call, Tim. And Dale, for folks who are just tuning in or just itching to hear, okay, what is the story about? What am I going to hear? What am I going to learn? Let's recap a little. Go ahead and reset, you know, what happens in the story and who do we meet?
It is based on a Navajo creation story. And you're first met with the American military. It's invading the Navajo reservation, trying to find a secret item that they believe is extremely important to them. And it's up to Changing Woman to keep them from finding it. It's that important that someone from, you know, the Native American or the Navajo creation story comes to life to protect them from that, or to protect us from that. And where it goes from there, it remains a mystery, and I'm going to keep it a mystery until I at least have something printed, you know. Again, I'm having a hard time because there's a lot of things that are coming to me right now that I want to say, but it's bottlenecking at my throat. I don't know if that makes any sense.
Maybe if you just whisper it out. No. I get you want to keep them in suspense. And there's a lot of beautiful imagery in here that I want you to talk about as well. But we got a caller who wants to jump into this. We're going to say hi to Karen in Albuquerque, New Mexico, tuned in on KUNM. Karen, thank you for your call. You're on air.
Oh, great. Well, I just wanted to say that I am so excited that there are comic books and more material being produced by Natives, by Native Americans. And when I was a child, almost 70 years ago, I used to read a series called Longbow the Huron. And also there was a series called Straight Arrow, but I don't remember his tribe. And I learned so much from... whether it was true or false, I don't know, but the thing that struck me most was when Longbow was tracking another Native. I don't know if it was an enemy or a lost friend, but his eyesight was so amazing. He could spot a bead that came off of the person he was tracking, that person's moccasin. And it just struck me as so... out of my world, you know?
Well, Karen, it sounds like it is still very clear with you, and those images have definitely, sounds like, made an impact on you. Dale, I don't know if you're familiar with the comic that she's, or the series that she's talking about, but any thoughts for our caller, Karen?
I had happened upon a magazine that had a longbow image on the cover, but I didn't think too much about it, and I'm just now remembering it, and I can't remember where I saw it. I wonder if it was in Salt Lake City at some point. I visited a comic book shop in Salt Lake City, I think it was, and I happened upon that image. So I'm vaguely familiar with it, but I'm not familiar with those stories. But there's a lot of stories that I happened upon that had a lot of like really old Native characters that were from the 60s and 70s, you know. And even then, I mean, I thought those stories were rich and they were interesting and they were fun. But again, they barely scratched the surface with who these characters were in terms of the Native characters. They were still, you know, with all due respect to the caller there, those Natives were still props. They were props for the storytellers who happened to be non-Native and some of the primary characters who were non-Native. And so the development for those characters was stalled because, again, people didn't want to invest in those characters to where they became their own people. They became their own, I guess, central characters. So there was always a stop on that. But I can definitely respect, you know, the love people had for those characters back then. I can relate to that. But again, I didn't have much experience in that. And usually whenever I did happen upon, like when I was growing up, when I happened upon Old West comics that featured Native American characters, again, Native American characters were the villains. They were the bad guys. They were the, again, more props. And I always just shied away from that. I always sort of just brushed that out because that's not who I am. That's not who I want to be. That's not a direct reflection of the people that I know, because I grew up around other Navajos that were their own characters, if you will. You know, I have my aunts and uncles and my cousins, you know. And I want to be able to open their eyes. I want to be able to open a lot of, not just my family's eyes, but like anyone who ever comes across this. That's why I made the color. That's why I made the cover with such bright colors. And the more I get into this, the more color is going to go into this. The more color is going to jump out of the page, you know. So that's my art student coming out of me is colors and you know, just big splashy imagery. That's kind of what I'm known for. And if you're from Albuquerque, if you're driving around on I-25 or I-40, you'll actually see some of my work on the side of the road. Those big casino billboards. I don't know if I'm allowed to say the name of the casino, but the Route 66 Casino Hotel has a bunch of billboards around town, and some of those feature some of my work, and you'll notice because it's just big, bright, splashy colors. And that's what I'm all about. I'm all about that presentation. I'm all about drawing people in with, you know, imagery. And so that's how I'm doing this.
Very nice. Karen, thank you for giving us a ring. Let's take another call. We're going to say hi to Tom in Idaho Falls, Idaho. Tom, thank you for your call. You're on air.
Hi. Excuse me. I just want to say this is awesome. This is great. I'm excited to maybe possibly get my hands on this and read it and share it with my young daughters. I am Navajo, and they're always constantly asking me about our heritage, and I think this would be a great way to, you know, introduce them into some of our folklore that we have. So again, I just want to say this is great, and thank you.
All right, Tom, thank you for your call there in Idaho. Dale, anything you want to tell Tom?
That's great, and then that's fantastic. You know, I'm Navajo, and my in-laws are from... I have some in-laws in near Twin Falls, and I can't wait to hear what you think. I mean, check us out. Go to my website, daledeforest.com, or hit me up on Facebook or Twitter or Instagram or what's the other one I'm on? I'm on LinkedIn, I think. And let me know what you think as soon as you get it, because I'd love to hear from you.
All right, Dom, thank you for your call. Again, join us at 1-800-996-2848. Michael wants to join. He's in Jemez Pueblo, tuned in on KUNM. Michael, thank you for your call. You're on air.
Yeah, thank you for having me. Yeah, my son is into drawing and sort of comics, and he was at the Comic Con last year. But I have a question for him, for this artist here. Would you ever think of doing something like a line of Avatar, you know, having another planet in another universe and going into a purist type of comic with the natives there, the sacred sites and the religious aspect and how that would go on to a different tangent, maybe even have visitations from with other extraterrestrial native type visitations and stuff like that. I think that would be pretty wild.
Sure, you know, and just add green chili and red chili into that scenario, and I can see things developing. Dale, go ahead, talk to Michael.
It's been really difficult to hold back the amount of sci-fi I want to put into this comic book. There's so many things I want to try. There's so many story elements I want to include, but I've had to pull back a lot of that inspiration because it's like it's not practical yet. I've already sort of dabbled in space travel in this first issue because when one character has to communicate with some elder characters, it's in space. And these characters are not even solid. They're made of light and fire. You know, so I'm already sort of dabbling into that. And there's a story I read. It's a short story. I want to say it was written by Philip K. Dick that I read in high school that sort of included these native characters, but they didn't really outright say that they were native. They just said that they were tribal and they were sort of shamans, if you will, that every single person in that tribe was sort of their own healer. And there was like a tribe of healers, you know, and they were interstellar because they traveled from planet to planet through prayer. And if anyone is familiar with this story and want to share it, please hit me up because I really want to read that story again. But the thing is, I have such a terrible memory. I don't know where it came from. So if anyone's familiar with that story, I would love to find out, and I want to reread it and possibly integrate it into the story because, again, I'm holding back a lot of my desire to include sci-fi into this. Because if you're familiar with the story, there is a lot that's celestial about it. There is a lot that sort of it's a spacey, if you will. When you think about the creation story, is that there's multiple worlds. There's multiple levels of existence. And I'm exploring that, and I'm also adding a little astrological aspect to it, you know, because I'm a huge fan of like space travel and things like that.
And go ahead and give out that contact again if somebody has the answer to that or knows where you can find it.
Just you can Google Dale DeForest, and at that point, it's not hard to find me because I'm all over the social medias. I'm all over the Facebooks and Twitters and whatever the Instagram, is that what it's called? Instagram. Now I'm on Instagram and Twitter, Facebook, all that good stuff. I'm not hard to find.
All right. And if you still can't find him, we got a link on our website, NativeAmericaCalling.com. We're going to say hi to Brenda now in Deering, Alaska, tuned in on KOTZ. Brenda, thanks for calling. And go ahead, you're talking to Dale.
Oh, thank you for taking my call. I just wanted to make the comment that from the movies and the other books that just touch on Native characters, they're written from the Caucasian side, and I'm so glad that you're writing from the Indigenous side, and I'll take your comment off the air. Thank you so much for taking my call. Bye.
Thank you, Brenda. Dale, go ahead.
It's extremely refreshing to hear people that are happy about that. Even non-Native people that are happy to hear Native people coming forward and doing their own thing. It's refreshing and wonderful, and it reminds me as to why I'm doing this.
Indeed. And so, Dale, with the images that are in the book, talk to me a little bit about the coloring and the art. And you did a little on the bright colors on the cover. But we see some pretty cool action shots and different places, the scenery, you know, you might recognize some of these places that you put characters in. Talk to me a little bit about the artwork that's in here.
It's sort of represents where I grew up and on the Navajo Reservation. Anywhere you go there's always a high contrast of color. You have bright beige and browns that are on the ground, but then you have these bright blues in the sky that just clash on the horizon. Those colors are just they're ever apparent, even on cloudy days or even at night. You know, there's color everywhere, and color to me represents life. And I wanted to bring that in everything I do. It's all about the color and it's all about the visuals. And so, excuse me. The artwork, I have to say, I had a hard time doing the artwork because, again, I work full time. I'm also a dad. I have a family at home, and finding time to do this was difficult. Like any working artist these days, finding time to do this is difficult. And so, I had to do it page by page, panel by panel, and sometimes some of the hardest pages to draw in that book were some of the most meaningful. And I'll tell you now that I'm sort of I've always been an artist, but you know, sometimes my roles get changed up every now and then. On some days I'm a father first, and on some days I'm an artist first, and then on some days I'm a nobody really. But I think if you open the book real quick and let me see some of the pages in there, I can tell you a little bit about it. The first page wasn't drawn first, if you want to know. And I always draw covers last when I create my books. The first page is almost always the hardest for me to produce because it's like this is the starting point. And in anything that you do, in anything you invest in, you invest your time in, the first thing that people see is going to be the most memorable. And so I had to have a good establishing shot of, I guess, where the story first takes place. And then from there, it was, stepping stones from there. I'm trying to remember what the first page it was that I started with. I want to say it was the page 3 that I actually started with, because I wanted to just jump into it. I wanted to do the most fun pages first, get those out of the way, and then I can concentrate on some of the more difficult pages. And, these ones were, Changing Woman is nude. There are some nude pages in this book, if anyone's interested. Those ones were the hardest pages because, I've done fine art before, and I've done stuff like that before, and I've done my fair share of, like, books that are imagery that I just aren't comfortable with people seeing. And so the nudity in this book, it's very tame. It's very TV friendly, if you will. But those are the hardest pages for me to draw because it's like, is this really relevant? And I'm like, yeah, it is. It is relevant because when this person gets shot back into this planetary existence, clothes are kind of unimportant when it comes to that kind of travel. So they all just go away. I don't know if it's relevant to this conversation, but there you have it.
No, it is very PG. You wouldn't be throwing it out there like that, knowing that this book is going to children as well. But I think your point with that in the book, you really understand. And what I thought of when I saw that is the story that a lot of us carry when we do wear our clothes, and a lot of the things that we do wear as Native people, they have purpose, and there's certain items that we're taught that come from creation. And so I thought that was really great in terms of thinking of our clothing, and they have purpose. And then I thought, okay, he's going to teach us why these women wear these dresses that they do and where they're given. And so it made me think, and that's how I related to it as a Native woman and seeing this, how we come into this world and the things that we need to keep us going through it. And there's a little conversation about that. And so I thought that was great. We're going to take another call. We're going to hear from Navasia in Albuquerque, New Mexico, tuned in on KUNM. Navasia, thank you for giving us a ring. You're on air.
Greetings and good morning, good day. Dale, your comic and your description, plus how all the people are calling in are excited and describing in their own way Native life. And it's from your description, something that you're creating that I can see visually right now, very kinetic, full of color, a lot of action. And what you just recently talked with about is the clothing, the accoutrements, let's say, that are part of the clothing. And so it sounds like it's a pretty kinetic, dynamic read. And I'm really excited to add you to my library. Dale, good luck. And I'm looking forward to my comic.
All right, Navasia, thank you for your call in Albuquerque, New Mexico. And with that, Dale, you're going to keep on creating Volume 1 while it kind of means there's going to be a Volume 2 and more. And you said Volume 2 is almost finished. And then here we are, a few more days from the Indigenous Comic-Con 2. Where can people find you at the con?
I will be at Table C2, I believe. I'm not really familiar with the layout just yet, but I know that that's my table. It's going to be C2 in the main exhibition hall, I believe. And yeah, if you just walk around, you'll see my stuff. You'll see my big sign. I have a big sign. And I'll be hard to miss because I'm also not a very small person.
Well, Dale, it has been a pleasure to learn a little bit about Hero Twins, and we can't wait till, the saga continues and what more you have to bring to audiences around the globe. And all of these creations, it's exciting to see how story is evolving, especially the way we take a look at it each month. It's great to go from something really in-depth and a look at the law and then take it to another side where we are learning about story and even thinking about culture maybe in a different way. And we appreciate you helping us do some of that. Dale DeForest, we appreciate you being here on the program, live in studio with us. And folks, if you want to hear more, you can reach out to us on our website, and you can also find the archive of today's program. Thanks to Dale for joining us, as well as Native Realities Press for providing copies of the books to our callers today. Tomorrow, our discussion is about pay gaps in our tribal nations. Got something to say about that? Start it now on Facebook. Post your comments. Our executive producer is Art Hughes. Senior producer is Monica Brain. Andy Murphy is our associate producer, and Marino Spencer is our engineer. Antonia Gonzalez is the anchor and producer of National Native News. I'm your host and producer, Tara Gatewood. Thanks again for starting off your week with us right here, and we look forward to you joining us again the rest of the week. Stay tuned, and we do appreciate you being with us today.
Buju, Oshkia ya agda bindige bi gazawag danke gwene negenego nige iguan, binish nishtana ashinigo dwaso bibunigiziwad, bakinige binish money to gizisus, medaswe ashinano gunagizid, ganoj 1-800-318-2596 gema wadishuane go.cms.gov/native health, gaundinagadeg the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services. Miigwech.
Support by the Association of American Indian Physicians, Healthy, Active Native Communities. HANK works with communities to implement effective strategies that promote obesity prevention, improve nutrition, and physical activity based on each community's individuality. Information on promising practices, nutrition and fitness programs, and shared successes at hanc.aaip.org.
Native America Calling is produced in the Annenberg National Native Voice Studios in Albuquerque, New Mexico, by Kwanic Broadcast Corporation, a Native nonprofit media organization. Funding is provided by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, with support from the Public Radio Satellite Service. Music is by Brent Michael Davids. Native Voice One, the Native American Radio Network.